there's been a couple of things this week that they've, to me, they've just been kind of snapshots of like, kind of worst case scenarios for just for certain people. One of them was for me, which was Monday night when we had our outdoor socially distanced Young Life Club and my guitar was on stage. My like fairly expensive guitar was on stage, and the game that Titus and Walker decided to play was put 5 pounds of flour on a table, have a guy kneel down behind it, and then turn on a leaf blower and blow all the flour at him. Sounds like a really fun game. Not as fun for my guitar to get covered right. in flour in a humid outdoor environment. It right. was just like, it was like my, at the end of club, it was like my guitar was covered in biscuits.
Oh, I didn't know it got on there.
Oh,
I saw it on the case.
It was covered.
Oh no.
I
what did you do? That's devastating.
I know. It was covered. It was like my guitar was covered in little, like, microscopic biscuits.
That's such a funny thought. What did you do?
Did
you hose it down?
I loosened all the strings. I took it inside the cabin where I found some, where I found a roll of paper towels and some bottled water. And I washed down the entire guitar.
Wow.
After club. And then dried it all off.
Wow.
But I can't get to the flour and the biscuits that are inside my guitar now forever.
Oh, dude, that's going to be bad. Because flour goes bad. People don't realize that.
Oh, yeah. It goes bad hard.
Yeah. Oh, no. Your guitar's just going to stink in 3 months.
In the fifth grade, my best friends, Keith and Apoorv, and I made a... we did a project where we had to make like a native village or something like that. And we were supposed to make, it was like they were going to be in like these stone, like kind of mud brick huts kind of thing. So we made them out of, flour, flour and water. We made, and it went bad before we got it to school, but like before we could present it.
Really?
Yeah. Their teacher was like, please take that out of here. We were like, whoa, we need some credit. They were like, please get that out of them.
I bet projects like that today are so easy for kids because of Pinterest and stuff. We were all doing our best guess.
Yeah,
and I was in like...
Just making stuff up.
I was like 2005. That was, some stuff was starting to come around. But for you, it was like, well, how am I going to make a mud... Oh, flour. That sounds brilliant.
Yeah, we'll just basically make little, walls that are just crackers.
Now you Google it.
Yeah.
You Pinterest it. And it's like top 10 ideas you've ever thought to make a little mud hut,
for your fifth grade project.
Flour, foundation makeup, like all these things that are like
foundation makeup.
Is that a thing? The base layer, is that what it's called?
Dude, your makeup knowledge is surprising me this morning.
It's pretty bad.
Another kind of ooh moment this week was our middle school group on Sunday night where. We were playing Ultimate Frisbee, and I just want you to think about Ultimate Frisbee from the perspective of our middle school kids. Dear listener, imagine a bunch of 11-year-olds running around trying to play Ultimate Frisbee, and then there's a guy that's as tall as a sequoia that just catches every disc and knocks every disc down. That's Thomas. one kid... His little sister was there. She just turned 10 like 4 days ago. And like literally anytime he wanted to, when she's about to catch a disc, Thomas should just grab it out of the air. Like it's got to feel to her like this is impossible. There's literally a giant.
I'm usually pretty selective about it though. Like I have to pick and choose.
I know you're not devastating, but excuse me, you're not unkind, but you always have one moment during the game where you absolutely break somebody's heart. Just smack down a Frisbee or grab it out of the air.
It's usually when it feels... I've realized as I've gotten older, I do that thing when something feels... like someone... When I feel like someone got treated unfairly.
Yeah.
So then I step in and I use my... I guess my suit is no. I just step in and I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna slap this Frisbee out there in your face because this is.
Have you ever thought about those games from the perspective of like a 10, 11-year-old child? Like what it must feel like. Like imagine if you had to play Ultimate Frisbee with someone that was 23 feet tall.
The worst thing I did the whole time is I was wearing my hat and I threw it at one point and knocked down a frisbee. Yeah, and then terrible. Every kid with a hat threw a hat.
For the rest of the game, they're just hats flying. just pell-mell.
There was one. One of the kids threw a hat, completely missed the frisbee, and hit his brother in the face with the hat. I was one of two people who saw it, and the other person who saw it was his dad.
Yes.
Who was like, "You have to stop," but he had this... He just tried not to laugh, and I couldn't hold it in.
Also, Brad was kind of looking at you like, "Way to go, Thomas! Way to start something."
Well, there's an old, I guess, a henchman from 007 named Oddjob.
Yes, thank you for using the word henchman.
Yeah, so there when I was a kid, arguably the greatest video game of all time came out, and that is James Bond
GoldenEye.
Nightfire, which was after GoldenEye.
I was going to say, I was like, it's GoldenEye.
GoldenEye's amazing. GoldenEye
started it.
Yeah.
Started the first person shooter.
So GoldenEye was on Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
Nightfire came out for PS2. So it was like a step Grand up in child. Quality. Yeah. But it's unbelievable, I think. And they're you could be Oddjob, and no matter what weapon you had, you always had one hat throw, and it was an instant kill. So you could just like throw this hat because it had like razor blades in it, and it would just kill someone.
I always wondered with Oddjob, how did he not cut up his own hand when he was throwing the hat?
Who knows?
Or just like every now and then you doff the cap and you like slice up your hand. I mean, it's like covered in razor wire or something like that.
Yeah.
So that was a cringeworthy moment. Another little cringeworthy moment this week was that some of y'all know that we have a great kind of listener fan of the show who lives in a neighboring town called Powell. And his name's Austin. Great dude. We love him to death. But like the high school football team for Powell is like, they're like a juggernaut this year. Just crushing.
They're so good.
They're so good. And they also have like the Michael Jordan symbol on their uniforms.
Nice.
It's like Jumpman uniforms for high school students.
They're impossible to beat.
I mean, yeah, it's just like they're beautiful uniforms, unbelievable team. Oak Ridge's high school football team has struggled this year, kind of fits and starts, up and down, some injuries, some struggles, whatever. So this past Friday, they play each other in football. I wake up in the morning, and on my phone is a picture of Powell, because they're coming over here to play us at our stadium, a picture of Powell's away uniforms, white pants, white jersey, Jumpman, like the Stormtrooper outfit. It's got the gloves in the shot. And Austin texts this to me and says, "It's already over." Just because of the uniform. Jeez. It's already over. I don't say anything because they're definitely going to beat us. And then Oak Ridge did the unthinkable. They beat Powell. And like, it's just so cringy because when you send that trash talk 12 hours before it happens.
Yeah.
And then you get defeated like that's heartbreaking. And I had to stand on his neck for a while in that text thread.
He needed that. Man.
It's tough for him right now.
Yeah.
Especially because then his college football team turned around and lost to Mizzou.
Eesh. Oh. Was it Mizzou or Mizzou State that they lost?
That's a good question.
Inside jokes.
Welcome to Ancient and New.
Hello.
Welcome to our week of cringy things. I hope that your week hasn't had too many cringy things. We're going to talk about some scriptures.
First time in a while.
Yeah, it's been a minute. We're sorry.
I was on vacation, which was nice.
We really try to make this show every single week, without exception. We even took the show on the road and made it in Spain. And that was another cringeworthy thing was the customs guy in Europe who was, because I made Thomas carry the digital recorder.
What is this thing?
It's not drug paraphernalia.
It's not a bomb. I promise. I know it looks like one, but it's not.
It's not a thermo detonator. No, yeah. But you got something for us?
Yeah.
You want to kick us off?
Sure, of course.
I know you like to start.
I do. This is in Romans 4, which is... I feel like I need to confess.
Ooh.
This is funny, because...
Tom's going to like that. He always wants people to confess their sins.
Okay, well, this is not a sin.
Okay. So,
I feel like for 9 months, I've basically started every episode by saying the phrase, "I've been in the 1-year Bible this year," which if you're at home, like, if you, which I like, that's, that sounds so cheeky, I guess. I don't know. It's so weird, but it wasn't. It was just the truth. Like, yeah, that's what I've been doing this year.
Is it a flex?
Are you no, like, not at all.
So guys, I'm reading.
If that's a flex, then what I'm about to do is a total, what's the opposite of a flex? A flab? This is a total flab. I made it to, like great. October 1st and quit. So I made it three quarters of the year. Yeah.
Oh, you're out?
Yeah.
You tapped out?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because you
it's the end of an era.
You just reached the, you know, it's one of these things where it's like, I get up at 5:20. I make my coffee. I read. I'm out of the house by, you know, 6:15 or something. So it's like, you know, right. I've got a good 30 minutes there to read.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when you're doing the 1 year Bible, it's like, if you're reading, it takes 30 minutes. It's a lot of stuff. So, but it's amazing. So I've actually been keeping up with the Old Testament part, but I just decided, like, you know what I'm going to do in the morning?
Yeah.
I'm going to read a tiny chunk out of Mark every day, because also you get to a point where you're out of the Gospels for a while, and it's, yeah. So, but anyways, that's funny. I just feel like I needed to confess. So you won't hear me say, you know, this year I've been in the 1 year Bible anymore. that was the biggest flab of my life.
Also, right, I like your impression of yourself.
Is that what I sound like? As someone who, yeah, has to hear myself sometimes when I edit these things, which I haven't edited this podcast in.
It's been a minute.
It's been at least a year, because I've been at my current job for 1 year and 12, 13 days.
Wow.
Here we go.
Who knew?
This is from Romans 4. We actually read this with high schoolers this week, and a couple things stood out, and I thought it was super sweet. Verse 4 is where I'm going to be. Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. So much of that is so cool. When I first was reading over this past week, just to kind of study it to get ready for our high school Bible study, I loved the analogy at the very beginning. The one, now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. Because that felt so, it almost felt like really modern day to me, like, which is funny because forever people have been paying people to do stuff, you know?
Right.
Whatever the wage is for whatever the job is, they're just like, I'll give you money to do it. I'll give you food to do it, whatever. But it felt so clear to me, like, no one questions the fact that on Friday I get a signed paycheck. It just, I worked 40 hours.
I put in my time, pay me my money.
Yeah. And no one questions it. It's not weird. It's not weird if I don't get a paycheck and I go to my boss and I say, what the heck? And he's like, oh yeah, you're right. You worked.
Is that the way you talk to your boss?
No. Corporate America does not allow
that.
I
like the idea of Thomas, who is just a very gentle person, walking into his boss's office and being like, what the heck?
Yesterday I had a meeting with a sales rep for 2 hours.
Yeah.
This is so off topic. Who has been...
It's okay. We never do that on the show.
He's been calling on my office for 4 years.
Yeah.
Before I've been there. My boss has been there 4 years. He called my boss the wrong name twice. This guy I've spoken on the phone with multiple times and emailed with for a year. And he asked my name at the end of the meeting. I was just like, what the heck, man? He's like, what's your name again? I was like, you're in my office right now.
I think that's just a thing that happens to you. It's like your old guitar teacher, rest in peace, calling you Tom Fox.
Tom Fox.
Tom Fox.
But I loved the idea of, it's just a sweet image. It was so crystal clear to me. It's like, no one questions the fact that you're going to get paid at the end of the week. It's just going to happen. You do your job. But isn't it so amazing that the fact that you're given righteousness is totally free, and it's a total gift. You know, it's completely credited to you. You did nothing to earn it. It's just, it's yours though. And I think that's so sweet. It was so amazing. And then you read down a little bit where Paul quotes Psalm 32, and I love this. There's a thing I do in here, and I went on the record on Sunday night to say, I'm sorry if this is heresy, but I guess it's not.
It wasn't though.
Okay. But when you read that part that says, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered, Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against him. If you do some like transitive property stuff, you realize, wait, that applies to me. My transgressions are forgiven. My sins are covered. The Lord will never count my sin against me.
Right.
Which, it's one of those things where I want to hang that above my door. You know, like, RIP Tennessee Vols, but like, they have the... They have that thing above their locker where it's like, I'll give my all for Tennessee today. And it's right. Like, okay, that's kind of eye-rolly, but also it makes you, you get like chill bumps when you see it happen for some reason. Whatever. But like, this is the thing where I like...
That I was just, adorable. You like, you tried to dismiss your fandom, but it crept up on you from behind.
I just remember when I was like 11, I cut one out of paper and put it beside my door and you I did? Smacked it. Yeah, I just remember that.
You had an I give my all for Tennessee.
No, it was a sticker, and I stuck it above my door, and I'd smack it in the morning. That's amazing.
Yeah. Like, just the idea that you going to, like, seventh grade social studies, you're like, I'm going to give my all for Tennessee today in yeah. seventh grade social studies.
It's amazing.
In the lunchroom today.
But the thing that, like, I want to cut this out, and I want to smack it every morning, or I just want to look at it when I leave my house. Like, my transgressions are forgiven. My sins are covered. The Lord will never count my sin against me. And this applies to me because it means that I'm blessed. I'm blessed, however you want to say it. It's like, gosh, that is such a sweet thing to remember. And I wish I could, I wish I didn't ever forget it. You know, I wish I didn't have moments because one of the things that just completely takes me out is when I completely forget that.
Yeah.
Because when you forget that, you start feeling really gross and yucky and shamey. Like those are, and that's like, it's the emotion that I fall back on a lot, like how wrong I am and how much I mess up. And when, if I could remember all the times that like, wait, that's true. I wish I never forgot that. And when I feel extremely healthy spiritually, I think a lot of the root is the fact that I believe that about myself. Like
yeah.
My sins are forgiven. When I sin, I go directly to the Lord about it, and then I believe that He forgave me.
Well, it's the thing of like, it goes back to the beginning of the thing about wages, you know, in verse 4, because you go like you snap back or knee jerk reaction back to the idea of like, I feel bad when I think I'm supposed to be earning this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if your boss gave you a paycheck and you know that all you did all week was
right.
play. You know, Mario Kart on your iPhone when you were supposed to be working and, you know, or something like that. And it's like, I didn't really
right.
do my job this week. Yeah, yeah. But you know, or you just kind of nosed around on Facebook when you were supposed to be working or something like that. Then you get this gross feeling of like, I know I didn't earn it, but that's what's so beautiful about this. Cause he's setting up that paradigm. Look, if you had earned this, then you would have a right to expect it.
Right.
Nobody did. Therefore, and cause he gets into later that, you know, the whole idea about, so there's no boasting, you know, mm-hmm. but like, I think I was thinking about a couple of things when you were reading this and talking about it. One is that, our son Jack just turned 12 and he's, I guess that's the age, but like he's at the age now where, grandparents and aunts and uncles just send like money in a card.
It's a good age.
For birthday, you yeah. know? It's like instead of trying to figure out what toy should I buy that you would be into
right.
or something like that, or like let me get you a hoodie and guess what kind you would like. Don't buy clothes for kids that you know, don't do that. Just give them money kind of thing.
Right.
So he's at that age. He's crossed over into the money and like I had told my kids about that thing where Randy Moss got fined by the NFL $10,000 and some guy stopped him and this is years and years ago when Randy Moss was still playing.
Somebody like mooned the crowd. He faked mooned the crowd. Is that what it was?
Yes.
I can't unsee that image. It's so funny.
Yeah. Was that when he played for the Vikings maybe?
Yeah. He like fake pulled down his pants. Yeah. Like, that is amazing.
But he got fined $10,000 and this guy stops him in a parking lot as he's getting into his pickup truck. And he's like, Randy, did you, and the guy's filming him on his phone. He's like, Randy, did you write a check to the league for that fine yet? And Randy just goes, when you rich, you don't write checks, man. And he was like, well, how are you going to pay the fine? And Randy, his door's open. He just goes, straight cash, homie. And he gets in the truck and drives off.
So country.
So awesome.
It's amazing.
So West Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah, just Huntington, West Virginia, Randy Moss. But like, in any case, so I've shown my kids that. So like, I asked Jack at one point. He was like, oh, dude, your sister sent me a birthday present. I was like, for real? Aunt Jody? Cool. What was it? And he just goes, straight cash, homie. And he's just like, and he told me later, he was like, bro, I am flush with cash right now, which then triggered Nora to sing Flush with Cash like Jean Ralphio from Parks and Rec.
Nice.
And, but you know, I'm flush. And because he got run over by a Lexus.
Oh, that's yeah. Right.
But in any case, it was just one of these things of like a day before that he was dead broke.
Yeah.
He did no job. He earned nothing. And then the next day he's like, I'm flush with cash. And he knows it was just pure gift. And he's just like over the moon about it. And I think that's the attitude of like, I didn't do anything. And like, and when you're 12, you don't even have any way to make any money, you know? And so it's just like, you don't have a car, you don't have a driver's license, you can't go anywhere. Jack doesn't even have a phone. Mm. He can't even hook anything up, you know? And so it's just like, you go from one day being broke, the next day being flush with cash. And he's just like, I didn't even earn it. It was just given to me. And so I like the idea of having the kind of feeling a 12-year-old would about it, of just like, bro, I just got hooked up.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, because that thing of like, I gave my all for Tennessee today is like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to earn it. I'm going to bust my butt, you know, as opposed to a 12-year-old who sat on their butt one day, sat on their butt the next day, and the next day is flush with cash.
Mm. That's cool. That's really cool.
I want to read something out of Psalm 75 that made me think of something else. You know how like sometimes you read a scripture and it just blooms other scriptures open in your brain and it becomes rich.
Yeah.
You know?
Would you say you were
Psalm 75.
Oh, cool. Blooms rich.
Yeah. It's just like, it's like this one thing made all these other things blossom or come to light, you know? Psalm 75, it's a song of Asaph, another one of the psalm writers.
It's one of his fables.
He says,
did I say that right? Aesop? How did you pronounce Aesop?
Aesop.
Okay.
You just put me on blast because it's that Latin diphthong with the A and the E, like Caesar. So if you pronounce it Caesar, then then go right ahead with your Aesop.
Okay.
Cringy moment number four this week. Psalm 75. We praise you, God. We praise you for your name is near. There's something that's been happening to me in the past little while that like, maybe it's been during coronavirus, but anytime the word near shows up in the scriptures, it's almost like everything else goes dark and that's lit up in neon. Mm. And it makes me pay attention because it's the thing that I want the most. I want nearness. Mm. I want, you know, it's the thing that we've missed during quarantine. It's the thing that we missed when we had to do everything, you know, early days quarantine, we had to do everything over Zoom and all that kind of stuff. It's just like, I need some nearness, but I especially need nearness from the Lord. And there was something about, so this scripture says, your name, O God, is near. And I just was thinking about it. Just, I had this moment when I was like, all right, I just want to think of like, just in a few minutes, rapid fire, every name I could think of that the scriptures give to Jesus. And it made me think about, I thought about in 1 John chapter 2, when John says, I'm writing to you so that you won't sin, but if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And I was like, advocate, like all, like a defense attorney, like all day long, Jesus is like, that name of Jesus is near me. Yeah. When I slip into the thing that you were talking about, when I slip into like shaming myself and feeling terrible about myself or something like that, the name Advocate, he's near me like that. And then just like Emmanuel, like he's God with us, he's near me. I was thinking about how Jesus said, I'm the true vine. And it's like the source of all spiritual life and nourishment. Like that name, that source, he's near me. He's called the bridegroom. It's just like, I've been to a couple weddings recently, and just watching the face of a bridegroom when his bride is coming down the aisle toward him. And just like, the most recent one that I saw, just watching like Bradley Duran, he was so high strung before his wedding. He was so nervous. He was so like, he was so freaked out by like, he wanted every detail to be perfect and everything. And then he's standing there as Sarah like starts, as like these barn doors kind of like move out of the way. And then Sarah starts making her way toward him, and he just starts to shiver and tremble with tears, you know? And it was just like, Jesus, the groom, is near me. And I just like wrote down all these names, like the door, the high priest, the cornerstone, the king, the light, the rock, the counselor, like all these things, all these names just started kind of blooming and blossoming in my head. It was just like, you're near me like that, like a lion defending me, like a king telling me what it needs to be today, like a cornerstone, the only rock on which we can build, you know, like all of these, which made songs bloom in my head and made, you know, all these things. And it was just like, all of a sudden, this concept of like, your name is near me. I was like, I need to figure out how to practice that today. I need to figure out how to practice thinking about the fact that like, oh God, your name is near. And then just like, okay, what name? All right. What will Jesus do for me today? Who will he be for me today? And then how is that thing near me? And it was like, you know, when you're at the ocean and you're like you're boogie boarding or something. I don't surf. So like, and obviously everybody knows there's a huge difference between surfing and boogie boarding.
Yeah. Huge.
And, they're not the same thing, but like, like when you're boogie boarding and you like catch that wave exactly perfectly, and you're like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
And I'm moving so fast right now. Yeah. Like, this is so cool.
And then you watch someone do it and you're like, they're not going very fast. It's just, sorry. But I know that feeling. It's like, this is amazing.
I caught it. And that, the day that I read that and I just thought about all those names of Jesus, I had a couple moments where like, I realized I'm having a normal day. Hold on. And then I would, in my mind, I would go back and access one of those things. The lion, the vine, the, you know, the advocate, the king, the groom. And I could feel my soul like body surfing on the fullness of that. Like, what? This is awesome. Like,
yeah, it's cool.
He, and like, not only is he these things, those names are near me. And like, I mean, just between us, between whoever's listening to this, like I've just like scratched the surface of the really, really cool names and titles of Jesus, of God, the Father, of the Holy Spirit that are like in the scriptures. And that Asaph would say like, your name is near me. And it's like, man, that thing just, it just filled me up, and it became like a tap that I could keep hitting all day. You know,
that's cool. I couldn't stop reading. So there's one more verse in this little chunk.
Yeah.
There's one more line in this verse, is, I guess is the right way of saying it. It keeps going. It says, people tell of your wonderful deeds. And the first thing I could think of was just the idea that, okay, we praise you for your name is near. People tell of your wonderful deeds. Have you ever just had a moment where it's not you and it's not your life, but someone else talks about something amazing the Lord is doing in them?
Yeah.
And you just want to stand up and say, heck yes.
Yeah.
I needed that. You know, that's how I felt when you were reading this. I just thought, okay, like maybe it hasn't been an amazing week for you, but like someone near you or someone literally around you says like, this is something awesome the Lord's doing to me. And like when your reaction to that is praise Jesus, you know, when you're just like, let's go. That's awesome. Yeah. And it fires you up. It's such a cool feeling. It's so cool when you have people in your life who are like, look at this that the Lord is doing in my life. Because it, sometimes my gut reaction to that can be, what the heck? Where's that in my life? You know, it's just like, if you're not, if I'm not in a good spot, like that can be the thing. It's
where's
like,
my bonus from?
Where are you, Lord? Like, cause I was reading Mark 4 this morning and right at the end there, when it's talking about calming the storm and like all the guys are like, don't you care? Don't you care about us? And at the end of the day, Jesus like snaps his fingers and the whole thing stops. And it's right. like, yes, of course I care about you.
Right.
That's not what I was doing right now. Mm. You know? And like, that can be my reaction when I look around and someone else is like, look at this awesome thing Jesus is doing in my life.
Yeah.
When it, when I'm at a place where I'm just like, that is amazing. And I can ride that wave from someone else. It's so cool. It feels so good to just to like pick up what they're putting down.
It's like a side along boogie board,
a sidecar, a boogie board sidecar. Is that also surfing, Devin?
Wow.
I find out if he still listens. So
yeah.
There's probably a few people who have just like pulled the escape hatch because
they're
like, probably
bailed. They're we get their shtick.
Yeah, we get it.
I was reading, I guess it was about like a year and a half ago. I started reading books by this dude named Frederick Buechner and who I've heard about forever, but I had never read his books. And he has like 30, like very small books. And, I was reading one of them and he was talking about his own kind of life and his own spiritual journey. And at a certain point he went to like a town that's just like, just kind of a Bible school town. And he had never been around a lot of other Christians before. And so his spiritual life had always kind of been in isolation. And he recalls being in basically kind of in a mess hall of this college, kind of like a dining hall or whatever. And overhearing a table with two guys where one of them said to the other, so tell me something that the Lord has been doing in your life this week. And he was like, what? Like, that's a thing people do? And then like a couple days later, he saw like a table of like six guys and they had like Bibles open and they were just saying like, here's something that the Lord has been showing me in the scriptures. And he overheard them saying that. And he was just like, I didn't know you could do that. And it like, it filled him up just to hear like other human beings saying, this is what the invisible God is doing in my life right now. Take courage in that. And like, and he describes that same thing of just having that, the boogie board sidecar of like Jesus working in you is giving me life, which is a cool deal.
It's so cool. It's so helpful too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think during this time, especially, I've had times where like I'm looking for just like anything I can get. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for a thimble full of water. What Tom's been saying lately is like he's like scouring back through Paul's letters and looking for like the crumbs that are falling off the table. Mm-hmm. And so when you find them or somebody else finds them, it's rich and sweet.
Yeah, I feel that way. I think a lot of people probably feel that way right now. Like, I just want some crumbs at this point. That's how I feel. Like,
yeah,
just give me, like, golly, it's been months. Even if, like, it's funny because I think in East Tennessee with COVID, it's a little easier. Like, we don't have the experience of someone in New York City or in Miami or wherever the place is because of where we live. Like, it's and like, you know, my job has been the exact same since March. Nothing's changed. I haven't missed a day of work for COVID. We haven't worked from home, anything. I've just gone to work every day.
Right.
But there's still a ton of effects of it. And it's still, I think everyone would raise their hand and say, in some way or another, this is affecting me and it's hard.
Yeah.
And it feels that way.
I just got a mental image of you, like middle school you, like with your glasses and your bowl cut, like heading out of your bedroom and slapping that sticker.
I give him an opportunity.
And just like in your heart, like meaning it's
still
it.
There. It may still be in that bedroom.
Serious?
It may be.
Wow. Like you coming down that flight of stairs, like I'm serious today. I'm giving my all for Tennessee.
I think I probably thought it had some power to make Tennessee a better football team. I was too modest as a kid. I used to hope for them to always go 9-3. I always feel like that's fair. If I want them to win the national championship, it won't happen. But if I want to go 9-3, that makes sense.
I'm a reasonable Tennessee actor.
It's so funny, like, how much, like, baseball players are the most superstitious people ever. Mm-hmm. It's just a thing. Like, you don't let the bats cross in the dugout. You don't, you know, you spit your seeds this way. If you spit them that way, then that happened last time. You don't step on the line when you're running out into the field. Like, right. There's just all these things you just don't do because for some reason it'll screw up everything. And that just, like, as a kid, that carried over to every era of my life. It was like, okay, every morning I'm going to get up and do this. I'm not going to read this website during game week. I was such a weirdo.
Folks, thanks for joining us. Sorry we took a couple weeks hiatus. We missed you, but we're back.
Yes.
And I am Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
Come now, fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Yeah. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now like a fetter by my wife.